Last year, Audrey Moscovich became the new chairman of Waveney Words talking newspaper, which serves South Norfolk and North Suffolk. She lives in Royden, and David Holland took the opportunity to interview her. Born in Minnesota in 1933, she has a fascinating story to tell.
Waveney Words has a new chairman, Mrs. Audrey Moscovich. I went to see her at her Royden home, where she told me how she came to settle in Royden. Audrey also has some sight loss due to macular deterioration. I first asked her where she was born. Now, you've got a very interesting family background. You've come from America.
Yes, I was born in Minnesota in 1933 on a farm. No electricity, no indoor plumbing. The facilities were an outhouse back in the woods, and believe me, in a Minnesota winter, you'd remember that. I think toilet paper consisted of tearing pages out of the Sears Roebuck catalog. So it was an interesting early beginning.
Your parents, they come from different parts, don't they?
Yes, my father's family emigrated in the late 1800s from Norway. And my mother's family emigrated from Germany, so...
Hence the name.
Well, the Moscovichs actually came from my husband. His family emigrated to America from what would have been the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Again, they emigrated back in the late 1800s. So my grandparents, most of my grandparents were born in Europe.
Like a lot of Americans.
Yes, America is made up of immigrants. You wouldn't know it with the political situation as it is today, but that's what built America.
You went through the Depression.
Yes, I was born in the middle of the Depression, and there was also a drought that affected the farms in Minnesota, and so it was not an easy time to be a farmer in that.
Is this when we had the people moving, vast numbers of people moving across America to find work?
Yes, I think that was. There were a lot of people on the West Coast that moved in to Oklahoma and so forth. Part of the country I was in, I think people had settled and homesteaded back at around the turn of the century. And so they stayed where they were and made the best of it. When Roosevelt came in with his WPA program, I remember that my father went out and worked building roads for a while to supplement his income from farming.
It was that bad?
It was bad. It was bad. I can remember having to wear clothes that were given out by the charity because we couldn't afford to buy clothes, and my mother would make me dresses out of the cloth they used to print flowered material, printed cloth to put the flour and to put the seed and so forth in that would be buy on the farm. And when the bag was empty, my mother would wash the cloth out and make me dresses out of it. And my school that I went to for the first 5 years of my schooling was also rather interesting. It was a little one-room country schoolhouse, about half a mile from the farmhouse. And this was a school for children all the way from starting school at the age of 5 or 6 up until about the age of 14. One room, one teacher, and the largest number of students in the entire school during the time I was there, I think, was 6. I was the only girl, which made for an interesting experience. Finally, I think when I was 10, there were only 4 students left, and they decided they couldn't keep the school open anymore. So then I had to take a bus to a town about 12 miles away, and the bus ride was about an hour to an hour and a half every morning and every afternoon.
So what did you do when you finally left school?
When I was 11 years old, my father died very suddenly. And my mother, of course, couldn't run the farm on her own. There were 4 of us. I had a brother a year older than myself, a brother who was about 6 years old at the time, and a baby brother, 9 months old, who had Down syndrome. So my mother had a family on her hand and moved to Chicago, where she had relatives. My aunt and uncle lived there. We moved there when I was 12 and lived in a little apartment above the shop that they ran. They had a coal and oil business, my aunt and uncle. So we lived there until my mother managed to get a job. My uncle helped her get a mortgage to buy a house, and we lived in Northwest Chicago, and that's where I finished high school. And then I knew my mother couldn't afford to send me to college, although I had, without her knowledge, taken the entrance exams for the University of Chicago, just hoping that something might happen, but realizing I'd probably have to go out to work. I was offered a job at a lingerie factory, a factory that made women's underwears. And I was offered a job working in the office, learning to do the bookkeeping for the payroll for the factory, which for a 17-year-old was a pretty good job to be offered. So I had to feel grateful that I had this job. Shortly after, I got a letter from the University of Chicago saying that they had awarded me a full tuition and room and board scholarship. And I didn't know what to do because I was frightened to tell my boss that I wanted to go off to university in the fall when she was training me up for a permanent job. So I didn't tell her for a long time, and I felt terribly guilty. And finally, I decided, well, I've got to tell her. So I did, and she was just wonderful. She said, marvelous, you know, if you need to carry on part-time work once you start university, you can come and have a Saturday job here, and you can come back every summer, which I did. And because it was a Saturday job, she said, well, Saturdays is weekends, you get paid time and a half. So can you believe how lucky I was?
She was very, very generous.
She was generous. She was wonderful. Also, one of my co-workers in the office, unfortunately, her daughter, who was just a little older than I was at that time, had died of cancer. She asked me if I wasn't too proud to accept her daughter's clothes because they were the right size to fit me. Yeah. So again, I was very, very lucky, and I was kitted out with a wardrobe that was suitable to go off to university with. So I've been a very lucky girl.
So you went to university. What did you study?
At the time I went to the University of Chicago, it was doing what they called a liberal arts program. So you had to do a little bit of everything. You had to do some English and some math and some science and some history and some philosophy, because they decided they were training you for life, not for a job. But it was a very interesting education. I did 3 years of that and got my bachelor's degree in liberal arts, and then thought, well, I'm not really trained to do anything. So I signed up for another year to do teacher training. And to help finance myself during that year, I got a job in the University of Chicago Medical Center, being a laboratory technician, doing technical work for medical research, which was a very interesting sort of job. And in the process, I met my future husband, who was in his last year of medical school doing medical research.
So the next phase was you got married.
Got married, and he was continuing his training in New Orleans. So we went to New Orleans for a year. And
you did what?
I worked as a research assistant in New Orleans at a very interesting research center, actually. They were doing early work on endocrinology, and one of the most interesting parts of my job was I had to find out whether some of their patients were male or female, because they didn't know. These were people who had been born and possibly even brought up as one sex, a male or a female, but possibly genetically were not that sex and needed some treatment to help them out. So my job in this clinic consisted of taking swabs from the inside of cheeks of these patients and then staining them and looking at them under the microscope, because if you're genetically female, then on the edge of the nucleus of the cells, you can see a little drumstick sticking out of a number of the cells. If you're male, you don't have that because it takes the double X chromosome to make that little drumstick. So that was my job at that clinic. And then we spent a year there loved New Orleans as a city, very lovely city. Oh, yes, we lived next in an apartment next door to a funeral home. And in New Orleans, a lot of the funerals will have a band actually marching up and down the street, playing when the saints go marching in. So that was an interesting part of life in the city.
That still goes on today, doesn't it?
I think it does, yes. Yeah. And you have the Mardi Gras parade. Then, after that, moved back to Chicago, and I worked there for a while again as a research assistant. But I also, because I'd been trained as a teacher, decided I'd better begin to get some experience. So I taught school for a year, sort of 12-year-olds, seven classes a day, math and science. And at the end of that year, I'd also, by that time, we had started a family, so I had my little girl at home and decided it was a lot easier to be a student rather than a teacher. So I went back to university for a year to do a little more science because that was an interest and hoped that I could get up to teaching science at secondary school.
So how did you come over to England?
My husband had been doing medical research, and he got a fellowship to come over and do some medical research in London. At that time, I had three children. By that time, I had three children and was living in Denver. And rather than take the children out of school, I stayed back home to look after the children. My mother was planning to come and join me when she retired from her job. She was planning to retire from her job that year. So I thought, well, when she came and could help with children, I might look for a job, see if I could get back into the world of work. Unfortunately, she was killed in a car accident shortly after he moved over here to London. And then he decided at the end of his year as a research fellow, he liked London well enough. He wanted to stay on, and he thought it'd be a good experience for me to bring the children over. They could experience the culture of London. So I did. I packed up the house, found renters for it, rented it for a year, and came over to London with the children, only to find that his lifestyle wasn't really a family lifestyle anymore. He had been taken up by the swinging 60s and 70s of London. So the marriage fell apart. He ended up coming back to America, and I ended up staying in London. During that first year in London, it was very difficult. I decided keeping the children out of school was not really an option. I managed to get them places in school, but because it was already the beginning of the school year, they had very little choice and ended up going to schools which were not the best. My husband had rented a house or planned to rent a house somewhere out in Barnet where I'd have to take two buses and tubes to get into London. And I thought, if we're here for a year and I'm going to experience London, this isn't going to do. I wanted a place to live right in London. My husband said, impossible. Can't get it. Place for a family. Well, that's like a red flag to a bull. If somebody tells me something's impossible, I do it. So I found a flat in Willesden Green in northwest London. We had to pay something like £3,000 for what they called furnishings and fittings in those days. But we were assured by friends in the know that when we left it, we could sell it on to somebody else for the same kind of furnishings and fittings money. And the rent was a princely sum of £5 a week, which I figured we could afford, even if my husband had given up his job and was no longer working. But I decided I had three children to look after. I'd better figure out what I was going to do with my life. So I went to the extent of getting all my teaching credentials transferred over and approved by the British Department of Education, started applying for jobs, was actually offered a job at the high school in Willesden and also at a junior high school in Neasden, but I had also applied for jobs at all the international schools in the area. So when I had been offered these two jobs, I just asked for a couple of days to think about it. And in the meantime, I got a call from the American school in London saying if I could start at Easter time, they had a vacancy for somebody who was going on maternity leave. I took the job, but had enough guts to say, I would only do this job for you if you promised me a job for next year as well, and promised places in the school for my children, which, fools that they were, they did.
That was a bit cheeky, wasn't it?
It was very cheeky, but I was desperate. I had three children. My husband decided to chuck in his career. We had very little money. I had to do something, so I did.
What did you decide to teach?
I was hired to teach math and science mainly, but also it was middle school, so I taught whatever I was asked to teach. But because I had a bit of a background in math and science, that's mainly what I was teaching. But, you know, one of the other reasons I decided to stay on in London was before I made the move in 1968. I moved over to London in 1970. But in 1968 in America, there was a political situation which, listening to what's going on these days, it takes me back to that. We were in the midst of the Vietnam War, and I was one of the people who got involved in the protest movement against the war. I had never had anything to do with politics before that, but I felt so strongly about this that I ended up being elected a committee woman for the local Democratic precinct. And from there, I was elected to be a delegate to the county convention, and from there to the state convention. And I eventually ended up being a delegate to the Democratic National Convention in Chicago in 1968, which was where there were a lot of protests, police suppression out in the parks, people protesting. And
it could be pretty violent.
It got very violent, and being a delegate in the convention hall and seeing how the convention was controlled, Mayor Daley of Chicago at that time had all his supporters in, cheering on the right people and, in my opinion, the wrong people. And, of course, Robert Kennedy had been assassinated. I was a supporter of Eugene McCarthy, who was the first candidate to come out for the Democrats against the Vietnam War. So that experience made me rather disillusioned about American politics. So coming over here to England, I felt in some ways I was in a freer country and a more welcoming environment. And I think that's what encouraged me to stay on all these years.
Would you say more democratic?
I would say more democratic in many ways, yes. Yes. And looking at what's going on in American politics these days, you know, I still say...
Still think the same.
Yes, I'd still feel the same, yes.
So you're in London, you've got three children growing up?
Yes.
On your own?
On my own. And I heard about an organization at that time called Gingerbread, which had just started up, I think, in about 1970.
Yes, it became quite well known, didn't it?
It did, yes. It was supporting one-parent families. I think I've heard two versions of how they got the name Gingerbread. One is just that the woman who started it up saw it as a name on a cafe and liked the name. And the other one is that it stood for gingering up the authorities to get more bread. So I rather like that version. So I lived in Brent, and I saw a notice in the local library that there were a group of people getting together to talk about starting up a branch of the Gingerbread organization in that area. So I went to the meeting and became one of the founder members of the Brent Gingerbread Group, stayed with them from, I suppose, 1972 until 1980, and ended up being chairman of that group for about 4 years, I think. But I think it was a group that did a lot of good. We organized holidays for the families. We had get-togethers, a few wild parties, and eventually ended up buying a couple of flats that we then arranged for letting out to single-parent families. So it was a very good organization, very useful to me for a social life and getting out into the British community while my children were young and I was teaching at the American school.
So you taught for many years at the American school, but eventually you retired.
Yes, I was there for 25 years. Worked in the administration for about 10 of those years, but then the new broom came in and swept some of the oldies out, so that my last 2 years there I spent teaching children with learning difficulties, which was interesting. But they offered me a payoff to leave, an early retirement, which I happily took, and moved out here to Royden in Norfolk, moved out here in 1996 when I retired.
What made you come to Norfolk?
I had a daughter living in Harleston at the time, so that, and I also had good friends that I had visited many times who lived in Hempnall, and other good friends who had a cottage in Gislingham, so I knew the area a bit. And I had decided to share a house with a friend who also wanted to leave London when she retired. We had looked around the country. She thought Norfolk was going to be too flat. But after we looked at houses up in Gloucestershire, she decided Norfolk wasn't so bad. She wanted an old house with period features. I wanted a house with a modern kitchen. We found one here in Royden that fit both of us, so we bought it and moved out here. Now, my daughter in Harleston didn't stay in the area too long. Once we moved out here, she decided to go off and teach in the Philippines. So, but gave me a chance to visit her and travel, didn't it? And then after that, she moved to Uganda. And after she moved to Uganda, she announced that she was adopting two children in Uganda. So, of course, I had to go out and meet my new grandchildren, so it gave me a chance to travel there several times when they were little. Then she announced that she was going to be teaching in China, so I got to travel to Beijing, and she went to before China, she was in Bangladesh, so I even went there. So she's been a teacher at international schools around the world and has now settled back in Florida, so I have had lots of chances to travel thanks to her career. And I've been living here happily retired in Royden ever since.
Thanks, Audrey, the new chairman of Waveney Words.
David Holland was talking to Audrey Moscovich.